week this week, right? Is any about this book of Ephesians we're going to go into? Today, we're going to be in the New Century Version, just a little off-take from the NLT. So you guys that have plastic instead of paper Bibles, you can go ahead and make that adjustment. For the rest of you, I'll put it up on the screen. Typically, we don't give you the scripture because we want to hear the whirring of pages or the electronic sound of you going whoosh, whoosh, whoosh when you're changing pages. What I like about this book, heads up, you know what I like about it? It's not a book of correction. You know, most of the time, the letters that Paul wrote were letters of correction to something that was misgiven. You look at 1st or 2nd Corinthians, you'll see the church starting to look like the world. These cats in this picture, in this video that you saw, these cats got out of England. They went up to the Dutch, but the influence of the world were affecting their children. You know, we've talked about this 100 times here. You wonder why your kids are acting crazy and silly and all the above. Well, it's only normal. You put them to Roman schools, they're going to act like Romans. You put them into non-God-centric schools, they're going to act like non-God-centric people, right? And guess what your job is? Either to filter them through all of that, make a change at that school level, or school them yourselves, right? What I love about this is he's showing them how to live. But he starts in this book with the authority of Christ. The message today is going to be called In Christ. There is something like, 22 times in this book that he says in Christ or through Christ. If you have paper, circle that. If you have electronic, you may have to click on a note and type that in when you see it. But it's in Christ. You know, Paul's writing this thing 10 years later out on his from a prison that he's been in, but 10 years the former was his third trip through, where he was coming back through after a church he set and planted for 3 years. He's coming back through on the last time, 2 years there. And you know what his 2 years for the region was? To go encourage people. You know, last week when Mary and I were together, we came back and we did the baptism last week, and we gave you a little synopsis of what our 30-day sabbatical looked like, and we told you during that time how we went and found ourselves encouraging pastors and pastors' wives and leadership at every stop, at every turn, and we did not set out with that mission in mind. But God did that. Well, that's what Paul did. And he stayed there for 2 years to encourage. We did 2 weeks. He did for 2 years in one region, you know. His heart was with the Ephesus church. He loved the church of Ephesus. You know, it was one of the largest ports in the world in its day. It's a bit sand-filled now. I mean, but when it was running chill, the temple of Diana was there, and the water would rush up and wash up on the steps going up to it. But they worshiped the god of fertility as they saw it. Do you understand we do the same thing when we worship Easter bunnies? Because that's, as the Germans saw, that fertility writ or rite. It was called Easterix. We have the same kind of notion when we get it wrong and forget that Christ died and was risen again on that day, right? They worshiped that way. And his heart was for the Ephesus people. He wanted to see them all come to know the love of Jesus. Is that your heart? I think it is. If it's not your heart, then I think it can be changed. Why? Because he changed mine. Dude, I was a rebel without a clue. I was rebelling against everything but the things that were of the Lord. And when he got a hold of me in my mid-30s, case closed. I saw truth for the first time. I saw love genuinely. I saw an unfailing Father, an unfailing God. I got it wrong. Paul didn't. He did early. He was Saul of Tarsus. You know, he was a... He really had a passion. He actually had a caring for that which was of the Jewish sect, right? He just went about it the wrong way. He went out killing Christians. I mean, can you imagine? I said this a few years ago. It's been a day. Can you imagine if guys started busting through windows and coming in here and dragging out the parents by their head of their hair, the hair of their head? Well, some of you have to grab your shoulder because you have your pelon, right? or you decide a short haircut. He'd grab you out or grab your wives out, and you'd be separated out, don't know what happened to the kids, probably killed for your faith because you're Christians. Somebody looked at me and went, nope. You need to know your audience. You're in the county of Weld that spells America with one A, and it's on the back, America. Yeah, and even the men conceal carry. So, I knew it would take time. Settle down. And I went, oh, yeah, poor Paul. But you know what? He took your brethren. These people on both sides of the aisle that you saw in the film, those are your family, whether they look like you or not. Doesn't matter. They're your family. Firstly, they're family in a created sense because they're all your brethren. You all are made in the image of God. Whether you accept Christ in your life, that's a different story. Yet is our favorite word. But everybody that you see that has general features like yourself is your brother because God created him in his image. Thus, you're related through creation. What deepens that brotherhood, that sisterhood, is your walk with Jesus Christ. And also from that, not just that it can fill your coffers with whatever you would prefer, but it also gives you the writ and or the right to wash feet at the lowest level, to no longer care about yourself. The older I get, the longer I'm with the Lord, the less I care about motives, the more I care about others being lifted up to understand the love of the Lord and operate there within to every part that's within their bodies. That not one cell structure has a motivation for self. Do you understand that concept? If not, do you really want to learn and know that concept? Then you'll understand the book of Ephesians even more so, because after that 10 years, Paul's still on his mission, and in 63, back in 53, and it's not 1953, it is 53. In 63, he's incarcerated, and what happens is the guy, beloved Timothy, that he set in and saw as a spiritual son, some of you guys know what that's like here because I see you as sons and daughters, brothers and brethren, right? I've told many of you, I see you as a son, I see you as a daughter. He had that for Timothy. Timothy was raised up by his mom and grandma. He was a half-breed himself. He was part Jew, part Roman, and whatever that looked like, because 50-60% of Rome was slave trade. You could buy a piece of furniture and buy a Roman, and it could have been whoever they conquered in the European conqueror, using that as a modern understanding. He's in prison. Do you know why he's in prison? Wasn't because he stole something. Wasn't because he sold drugs or any of the things that I should have been put in jail for. He was in prison for caring a rip about a culture that only cared about worshiping stone gods. And he was in jail. And jail then ain't like jail now. If you didn't have a coat, you're cold. If you didn't have a good food, you were slop. That's all you had. No water, minimal. And if they didn't like you, harder even still. So you know what they did? The folks over there in Ephesus sent a traveler all the way over, boat, mule, whatever, to go see Paul. You know what to do? To encourage him. Do you see the love in the heart there? That love in the heart that was propagated within the tribe of Christ. And it is multiplexed. It's every culture that comes before, because it's Ephesus, it's New Orleans for us. I think New Orleans is the fourth largest trade bay, if you will. It was this blend of cultures from all over in Western Turkey on the shore. And they sent over a guy to come over and encourage Paul. And in the midst, Paul pins out some letters. One of them he sends to Colossae. One of them he sends to Ephesus. And I've forgotten the third one, but there was another one. And they took those letters back, and those letters were what they call circular. They would be circulated among the others, more than likely scribed from the original letter and then sent on. You know, original scribing, original sending on, so that others in the area could get that same benefit of what you're going to be getting over the next few weeks here. And we're still reading that letter from back in 63. That's a long time ago, huh? But what's not long ago is the love of Christ that he talks about. And that's still evident today. That has not changed. Nothing has moved in that regard. I love this time. I love that we get to go through Ephesians. I had worked up Ephesians. Usually I don't work it up until a day or two before service, because I don't know about y'all, but I like fresh food. You know, I do like leftovers, but you know what? I don't want to have something that I've worked on 8 or 9 weeks or go look at old notes. I don't think any of us that teach here does that. Fresh food, ready to go. I was talking with a brother at the men's gathering yesterday, which is always the third Saturday, how he loves to make fresh food. And we were, yes, as men talking recipes. Hope you enjoy it. Father God, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for Paul. Lord, here was this criminal in the sense of righteousness. He had wrath, which is a righteous anger. He had wrath, but it was misspent, Lord. He didn't have the essence of love, and you met him on a road, blinded him out, stood him up on a good foot, and he became such an evangelist, still is today, Lord. We thank you for him. We thank you for the change, and we thank you for the encouragement from it. So we appreciate it, Lord. We pray it in your name. Everybody said, amen. You know, this port of Ephesus was part of the Roman outreach, if you will, part of their provinces of many. And it's also said that Jesus' mom may have moved there, died, and buried there as well, which is kind of an interesting thing. I want to develop that more down the way, but we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Yeah. I love the caring, again, that shows. He cared so much about Timothy. He cared so much about the people of Ephesus. While we're talking about this, I want you to think about the area you live in, your neighborhood, your reach, your social reach, your SOI, your sphere of influence. I want you to think about a tribe of people that God has put in your heart and put in your mind. We're not saying tribe in the sense of we all look alike. We're saying tribe of the people that you associate with. To see just how much do you really love them? Or are you just part of a using group? You know, are you part of a caring group? Do you see yourself as an ambassador of Christ to those folks that are there? To genuinely show love, caring, and like Pastor Brent said earlier, when they're hungry, give them a Freddy's burger. Okay. Some of you don't like Freddy's. That's sin. He's bringing encouragement into darkened hearts. That just means the lights are out, the lights are off, and God is turning the lights on when he uses you. You may think it's the pastor's job to do all this stuff. You're wrong. We are a priesthood of believers. Do you understand? We all carry the same level before the Lord. None higher, none lower. I think the only difference is, possibly, is that some folks don't know about Christ and some folks do. And some folks that do may be doing it wrong. Forgive them. They may be Paul. They may be Saul's going to be Paul one day. Well, the church burned me. I understand. There's some people that got it wrong. Just remember, you burned your relationship with God and he showed you mercy first. He didn't give you what you deserved. And then he showed you grace. Allowing you to come to him without checkbox. You just come to him. He'll iron out the wrinkles. And for those people that burned you, and some of them are rightfully so, I mean, they did burn. There could also be some of your ownership in that too, that you were a part of not giving your full and your all. And it's okay. That's part of the ability to forgive people. You know, to forgive somebody is completely loosed from you, and you just trust God with the outcome in forgiveness. I've told many of you I have been violated in my life as a young man by a man, and I had to forgive that individual because he did not know Jesus. And if he did know Jesus, he wouldn't have done that. He just wouldn't have done that. You know, don't worry, don't creep out. It's just somebody that missed the mark. Just like me, you know? So now that we're all on the same plane, the same understanding, that's where we work from. We look at people across the aisle from us. It could be just you're standing here and somebody standing there. We look at that separation, right, as nothing other than that's either a brother in Christ or one to be. When I say brother, girls, you know that that means sister, but it sounds weird to say brethren and sistren, you know. Maybe it works. A cistern is where you hold, actually a cistern is where you hold a fresh water, typically underground. Encourage these people. Listen, guys, encourage these people in darkness. But listen, it's got to anchor in Christ. It anchors not but that. You know, you draw yourself unto the Lord and he'll draw himself to you, James says. Right? Draw yourself to him. Ask the Lord to draw you closer to him. But I make all these mistakes. Okay, well, he has an eraser. That forgiveness is no moss. That forgiveness is no more. You understand? Do I need to say it in any southern vernacular so you get it better? All right. Kind of theme in this is unity in Christ. I kind of alluded to it. It's not uniformity. Uniformity is we all lockstep and do things a certain way. Do you see how this fellow looks? He wears them saggy. I don't. We make him wear a shirt covered as saggy because I don't want to see his right? Does that make him love Jesus any less or me any less than him? Not one bit. It's just two different fellows going about it a different way. I wish I could and squeeze a beard out like that, but I can't. You thought, don't go there. I did have hair longer than his, though, years gone by. Years gone by. It's unity. It's not uniformity. We're not all going to get haircuts the same way and little marks in our eyebrows so we all look the same, or maybe a tat on our hand, or, you know, a brand on our toe or whatever. The only brand on your heart needs to be that of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. And those two together we call love. Starts with mercy. That's the unification that we have. You know, we can sit there and look at 100 different churches and they'll do it about 100 different ways and none of them major in anything right. Or we could have 100 different churches doing 100 different ways, and they major in mercy, grace, forgiveness, abounding in love. I prefer the abounding in love, mercy, and grace leading. I love when I was on that trip and I saw different places of worship. I will tell you, the last place we did worship, though, the sound was dialed in. And I mean, to a musician, and to you guys are all musicians because you sing or listen or it thumps in your heart, right? When you hear the sound dialed into perfection, it's actually soothing. The voices were trained and skilled. That was really nice. But what was great beyond all of the mechanics of it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I know it was a church where a lot of folks sit down, and I get all that. But I got to tell you something, man. When they sing songs that are of the Lord, I can't sit still. I have to just stand and tell God how much I love him in the way that I know fit. If the person next to me is sitting down and I'm standing up, are we still in unity? Well, of course we are, you know. But I will tell you the last song that they sang, because it was a familiar song to me. I heard it played here many a time. I don't remember the name of it, but it'll come to me later. I will tell you, I had the biggest smile on my face because my soul was beating with the love of the Lord. I'm not a perfect man. Ask Mary Lou, but don't ask her too much. I'm not a perfect man. But let me tell you something. I had a perfect love in my heart on that perfect day of worship, at that perfect moment, just for me. And I looked up and the worship leader up there, I just was like singing this song, you know, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, thank you. I've got no responsibilities other than just raw worshiping you. And he's up there playing. He gets this big smile. And then the gal next to him, she gets this big smile. This is no show. That's not what it is. That's what love looks like. Have you seen it where they get together on Christmas and one person lights a candle in a room and, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody's got candle. We don't do that. Do you know why? Because you put wax on the seats and they don't ever come out, right? So we'll just do your phones. Go there. Anyway, it gets brighter. Well, that's what that shared love looks like. But it can only truly, listen now, it can only truly happen when we are in Christ. Do you understand? That means everything indwelled in us is purely him, and none of it is us. Isn't that the best? Let me tell you something. Now just listen. when you're falling in love with Jesus, when you have fallen in love with Christ, and it now no longer filters through your frustrated, self-focused ways of containment, it can do nothing but pour out onto other people. Oh, Jesus. Now settle down. You're going to freak out our introverts, right? But inside, they have that same tension just as you, that just exudes Christ in a very quieted way, and it's no less, no more, and it's still unity. Yet you can't hold it back any longer. You people that have had children, and you hold up a child for a first time, fathers, you did not carry that child in your womb. You saw your bride, your girlfriend, however, carry that child. And then when it comes out, ladies, I can't speak to this. Going from breathing liquid to breathing oxygen in the tummy to out, I don't know what that relief is like, but I got to think that the love is even more so when that child is visible to you. Men, I don't know about you, but a loving father, or a one that's probably learning about love for a first time, holds that child for a first time, there is an undeniable sense that you will lay, listen, you will lay your life down for at all costs for that one you're holding that's fixing to wet in your hand. That's how we are before the Lord. And He laid that down. He set your value as such on that cross and off of it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just to think of the magnitude of what we pass over very quickly, the magnitude of just how much He cares. I don't know, dude. For me, I had to kind of reel back all that I thought and just let it all be released. Because let me tell you something, and I've said this recently. At my funeral, don't anybody ever talk about my career. At my funeral, don't anybody talk about attributes here unless they're pointed to the Lord. And the only title that I would like to have is Man of God. Dave Pierce, Man of God. Doesn't that sound like a movie? Well, I'm not starring in it, so don't worry. Dave Pierce, chubby dude for Christ. Now I'm not getting Mark Wahlberg doesn't have a big belly. Yeah. You know, in church here, we like to teach the word. The first, there's three rules. There's three rules. One, leave place for worship. It's not just music. Some of you guys are administrative, it's that. Some of you guys clean, it's that. Worship is everything that you do is honoring God as unto the Lord, right? We leave a great place for worship. In this case, it's for music. Worshiping of the Lord, whatever that looks like in prayer. Number two, this is the second rule, is that we leave a firm place for teaching the word contextually accurate. Because when we get the content plus the context, it'll equal the absolute meaning. Not something we're trying to build to have some drum we're trying to beat. We let the word speak because God ordained that as such, right? The third rule, do you want to know what it is? There are no other rules. There's no other rules. Why? Because we firmly believe if you're worshiping God and you're being shaped by the word of God, that all these things will be taken care of. Do you know that? Would you like to know what our business plan looks like? It's like this. There's nothing on it. Every day we sit down and go, Lord, what would you have done today? Oh, we have some direction things. We do BBS and the Mother's Day brunch and stuff like that. You know, we're going to be having second Sunday in December. We're going to have an appreciation for all of you guys. We'll have a catered meal in, you know, and then we'll get back to our normal first Sunday family dinner. But outside of that, we anticipate and expect that you're going to be doing the work of God, that you're going to be leading your family, singular or plural, towards His likeness, that you're going to go out and be loving people in the hard work of rolling up your sleeves and doing that kind of work. Do you understand? If you are feeling like this is some kind of finger-waggling, punitive discussion, you've missed that. It's not. This is my brand of saying, how encouraging can I be to you that you live in the fullness of the way you are wired in His image to go do the work, because He uses you to bring His love to others. You know? Let's not lose sight of that. You ready to get in the Word a little bit more? That's all the intro. I'll see if we can't roll this up a little bit, because I know some of you are going, would that guy just get on with it? No, I won't. What did you think real quick? What did you think about 3 days spent for Thanksgiving? No Black Friday, no small business, no Computer Monday or whatever they call it. I don't know what they all are. Yeah, what? Woo! You know why they call it Black Friday? Because businesses are in the red. It's an accounting term. If you're in the red, what's happening to your business? It's tanking. When you're in the black, that means that your business is, woo, we're making money, right? That's why Black Friday has that name. Can you imagine if you took Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and just had a feast of thanksgiving unto the Lord? Can you imagine what that would be like? Our brothers in Africa that gather for service, they'll gather for 16 hours, 12-hour services. Come and walk miles barefoot, walk miles on a, go miles on a scooter, I don't know. But they, man, my brothers out in Africa, they worship. They worship big, and they don't worry about that time. You know, I love that stuff. You know, our funerals here aren't 20 minutes. You may be a half an hour, it's not 20 minutes, they're a half an hour. It may be 3 hours or half a day because it's a celebration of life. And we want to celebrate every part of that, you know, and have the food that goes with it. It's part of what you're going to hear here. Let's get into it. There's some scripture that you can bounce on the screen. From Paul, an apostle, apostle of Christ. I'm an apostle because that is what God wanted. Who wanted it? Good, thanks. God's holy people living in Ephesus, believers in Christ Jesus. You'll notice that Paul almost always uses his title Christ before Jesus because he knew him authoritatively in title as the disciples knew him in the familial as Jesus. Right? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessings in Christ, it says on my title. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, do you see it underlined? Okay. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. So watch this. Your cue that you're pulling from, that he's pulling from, is that heaven-minded, you're going to be there one day with Christ, yada, yada. All of that's being poured out on you through you to do him for others. That is, in Christ, he chose us before the world was made that we would be his holy people without blame before him. You may need to bring the gain down. Before him. Where am I? I'll do it again. Four. Thank you. That is, in Christ, he chose us before the world was made so that we would be his holy people. You know what holy is? This is holy. See all this stack? This is now holy. Why? Because it's set apart from the rest, right? Without blame before him. Do you know you're without blame before God because of Christ? No longer blame. How does that feel? Is that liberating to you? Listen, dude, that's freedom for me. That is absolute freedom. I am free from the bondage of self-conflict when I go before him as he sees. When I understand how he sees me, it frees me to see him more openly. When I look at others and we draw a cross on their forehead because he died for them and they don't know him, yet, right? When they don't know him yet, I can look at them with freedom because I am not bound by what I was bound by before, nor are you. Because of his love in 5, God had already decided to make us his own children through Christ. He decided that you're going to be his kids. Don't I get to decide? We'll cover that. This sounds like election, predestination. We're going to open that up. Don't I have a say in that? We'll look here in a minute, some scriptures rapidly. That's what he wanted and what pleased him, and it brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. Grace is you don't have to do any checkbox to gain his favor. You just get it. Maybe some of you with your parental model, you had to do things to get dad satisfied or whoever you saw as dad. You may had to do things to get mom satisfied or whoever you see as mom. And I understand that because they're creating, listen, they're creating disciplines in your life. Disciplines are the function of doing things correctly as they see it. Punishment is when that does not work, when the discipline doesn't work. They're setting disciplines in your life. Do you know with God, you just come to him? We were kidding this morning in prayer because every one of you were prayed for this morning. So you're an answer to prayer. You're here. And we were talking about, we were kidding with Brent, and Brent says, you know, God sets the bar low. Walk right over it. Amen. Right? And he does. But, you know, as you grow closer to him, then there's some disciplines that need to be set in one's life, right? In Christ, there we are again, verse 7. In Christ, we are, say it. In Christ, we are what? Set free. Dude, you're set free. Why do you want to put yourself back in that straitjacket of bondage? Have you guys ever been in a straitjacket? I would encourage... There you go. I don't want to ask that too much because we could have a lawsuit. I'd encourage you to maybe get a straitjacket or at least have somebody tie one wrist to the other wrist behind your back and see what it's like to not be able to have a will of your own. Because as soon as you have, oh, that's cute, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. You can't even wait a stoplight, and it's 41 seconds. And you're like, oh, get me out of here. That will come, right? So why would you straitjacket yourself with the lack of, you're set free, dude. It's set free. Live it. No, we're not going to have doves flying off on a video for you. Just live freely than you are. Let it go. It's not a Disney song. And how we do that is we bring it before the cross. And it's like, Lord, you know what? I'm tired of hanging on to this. You start checking the boxes of all the I can'ts, and it turns into he can. And he sees me differently than I think I see myself. So you know what? You got stinking thinking, and it's got to be changed to understand the love of Christ so you can genuinely live more fully. You understand? We got that? Yay? No? Don't have you? Well, I'll keep talking. When you say I got it, it goes faster. Okay. Yeah. I got it. All right, dude. That's enough. No. Just playing. Again, in Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death, so we have forgiveness of sins. How rich is God's grace, which he has given to us so fully and so freely. We're talking TG coming up this week, right? Thanksgiving. You know you're going to get that little belt loop that you can hook on your button and run through the loop so it'll stretch out, or you're going to wear your expanda pants, you know? And you know how they make those now? They say whatever your waist size is, but they'll stretch to 4 sizes bigger, right? So you're going to probably eat way too much where you feel the gullet coming up your neck, right? Not the gullet, but the turkey food. Was that gross? But we know what it's like to be full. We live in America. We don't suffer much, right? Don't be guilty for living. God placed you here. It's okay. That's the fullness that he gives you. He gives you this fullness of freedom, man. And he does it for nothing other than you come to him and live in the love of dad. I know some of y'all had a bad dad. I get that. But that's not him. That's just a dude that didn't get it right with him, and he took it out on y'all in whatever absence or unfortunate effectual. I know some of you feel like you've been left behind. Christ has never left you behind, dude. He just hasn't. Why wasn't he there when X, Y, and Z? Well, maybe he like saw something before you and you didn't need X, Y, or Z. Why didn't he change my dad's heart to make him more loving to me? Your dad didn't want that heart changed, or he was so sinfully intact, unfortunately, that he wasn't tacked to the Lord. You know? Forgive him, Dad. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew you, they wouldn't do this to you. Do you hear that echo from the cross and Stephen being stoned? Right? That's our heart too, because it's Dad's heart. He wants us to walk around with a mercy abounding receiving of the freedom and the fullness. Now poured out that mercy onto people that it's not easy to love. And oh, by the way, when you were at distance from Christ, not only did he take all the adjudication, not only did he resolve the penance, he also built that relationship as if the crime never existed. And that's how we're to operate with those who have fouled and run afoul. Pretty crazy, huh? That's a hard one to jump through. God, with full wisdom and understanding, let us know his secret purpose. This was that God wanted, and he planned to do it through Christ. That's what he wanted. He decided to take his son. I need you to come down and be earth like them so they can be adjudicated, because that's how it was done. You couldn't be redeemed from sin but by a family man. If you had sin and no family one, you're stuck. But if you had somebody that would take it for you, that there was just cause for freedom. He came down in the humanity of mankind and took that penalty for us, adjudicated properly. And God allowed that because he thought you were something. You know you've got fingerprints on your thumb, right? You know it's different from it. Hold your thumb up. Look at your fingerprint. And then look back at me. Hold your thumb out and say, I am thumb buddy. Right? And you are. You are. You're unique. And listen, now listen, now listen. He loved you so much in that way. And he loved me so much. Oh, dude, I'll tell you, you leave me thinking about my former self, which is done, but you leave me thinking about my former self, I kind of tend to forget who I am in. Thank you. His goal was to carry out his plan in verse 10. When the right time came, that all things in heaven and on earth would be joined together in as the, he's the head of the body, y'all. In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people. Chosen? Didn't we have a say? Because from the very beginning, God had decided this in keeping with his plan. And he is the one who makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. What? Dictator? No. Freedom maker. We are the first people who hoped in Christ. And we were chosen so that we would bring praise to God's glory. So it is with you when you heard the true teaching, the good news about your salvation, you believed in Christ. The good news is this. It's called the euangelion. And it is, the war is over. It was a cry of the military men when they went into battle. Because if your tribe battled another tribe and you won, you come home saying, you euangelion, the war is over. Now for the ones who lost, their women were taken, the older men were hacked out, and the kids were turned into whoever that tribesman that conquered them would be. Do you see? The euangelion, you are no longer at battle. The war is over, and guess who won? The Lord. And you get to share in those offerings. The good news about you, your salvation, and you believe. And in Christ, God put his special mark of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit that he had promised. Dude, that is the mark of your walking with the Lord. Well, I never hear from the Holy Spirit. Start talking to him. I don't know what to say. Here, let me give you the righteous and holy thing to say the Holy Spirit the first time. Hi, I'm Dave. You don't have to say Dave. You just say hi. I don't know you. I had an aunt that was separated from our family for dozens and dozens of years. And I came to her house, and at the end she said, well, were you thinking some crazy dragon head would come out? And I was like, Aunt Mary Lou, I don't know you. I just came to build a relationship with you. And over the years, we migrated relationship into deep love until she passed and reconciled the familial differences. Do you understand? That Holy Spirit in you, simply this. Holy Spirit, I don't know much of you. I know we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's not like fries, a cheeseburger, and ketchup. It's not like that. He is part of the Godhead. And he communicates everything of God, thus God. And I'm so thankful for him. So the equipping of the Holy Spirit for you, listen, is simple. Holy Spirit, I don't know you. Would you make yourself known to me? When you read the Bible, it's like, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you show me? And guess what he's going to do? Bring all correction, all insights, and things to do. Have you ever been at a stoplight and you're like frustrated because the traffic isn't moving, but then somebody you haven't seen for years gone by pops into your melon? Have you ever had that? No? Am I the only one? Okay, you have. You know what that call is? Call to prayer. He stopped you so you could pray for 41 seconds. Okay, 47. This is too much prayer. It's okay. See, you're listening to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's job is to speak to the communication vehicle that speaks to the heavenly we call spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. Oh, it's women's intuition. Or I had a figuring about that. No, the Holy Spirit spoke to you and gave you some insight. Pretty cool, huh? Well, that's too much of me. I have to give up and depend. Well, that's great because if he knows stuff and it's really like keep you out of danger, keep you straight, it's not a bad day. I like that. I used to hate, no, I kind of like it now. It keeps me out of trouble. That Holy Spirit, listen, is the guarantee. That word guarantee, we use the word earnest. Like in earnest money, you put your earnest down on a house or something you're buying, you put that earnest money down. It doesn't get revoked. It's part of the transaction. It says, I will buy this, whatever that item is, right? Well, you know, in the Greek, they use this word earnest as a wedding ring. It's also transliterated to mean a wedding ring. And we know that if you're wearing a wedding ring, it doesn't say you're married. Look, this ring that's on your finger, and every one of you are married. You are either married to the world or you're married to the Word, which is Jesus. You're married to a spouse. You're not carrying a... Look at your wedding ring if you have one, your promise ring if you have one. When you wear a wedding ring, you know what you're wearing? You're wearing the covenant agreement of the person that had that covenant spoken before God. It's your representation of their covenant and promise, receiving and giving unto God. I'm married. I'm covenant wearer. May not have the same jingle, but it has a deeper meaning. Do you understand? The roots grow deep. That Holy Spirit is your wedding ring. That Holy Spirit is your earnest money. That Holy Spirit is a guarantee that we will receive what God promised for his people until God gives full freedom to those who are his and bring praise to God's glory. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here, all right? Because I'll tell you, that sounds like a lot of God doing stuff, and I got no say in this. Could I get 2 Peter 3:9? For some of you, we have the wristbands. That's our scripture here at the church. Right, 2 Peter 3:9. We got some on order, so don't worry. We'll get you in, you extra large, thick wrist people. We got some coming for you too. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. So you think, man, that guy's kind of slow to bring stuff around. Watch. No, he is being patient for your sake. And the word patient is usually situational. Long-suffering really deals with people. In one of the other alliterations, it says, he is long-suffering. Look, when you have people that haven't come to know the Lord, it's long, and sometimes there's some suffering that you have to go through as they're learning how to walk with Jesus. No, he is being long-suffering for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. That's the core desire. Leave that stale. That's the core desire of the Lord. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to repent. But if you have to repent, that means there's some buy-in from you that you have to do, right? This choosing thing is way old in the Bible. Genesis, please. Way old. He's allowed us choice from the very beginning. It should be Genesis 2:16. And there we go. Thank you. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit. Right, hold right there. You get freedom. Eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you're sure to die. Is there a choice there, yes or no? It is yes. They had a choice. He has given you choice, meaning us culturally as made in his image. He has given you choice from the very offspring of the start of this whole thing, right? Luke 14:1-24, please. On Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner at the home of a leader of the Pharisees. So that's the context. We're eating chow at Pharisee house, right? Leader of the dudes. And the people were watching him closely. They were checking out Jesus, right? Please. Please. Thank you. There was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees, an expert in religious law, is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath or not? Next slide. When they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man, healed him, and sent him away. Hold. Let me tell you something. You know why they didn't answer? Because they knew they were doing those kinds of things. They knew they were lawbreakers. It's all right. That was their law. Please. Thank you. Then he turned to them and said, which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him? Again, they couldn't answer. Because you know what? They went to get that cow. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head, he gave them this advice. He said, when you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has been invited? Hey, let me tell you something. This happened. We were doing Operation Christmas Child. We got to do some of the first processing centers here. That's where it all gets processed and be shipped out internationally, right? Nationally, whatever they do. We were invited to this gala, National Day of Prayer type gala. And I said, look, we're going to be late. I've got this work to do, but we'll definitely be there. I go in there. This room is, I don't know, thousands. We walk into the room, and I said, oh, we'll just sit in the rear. So I found a table over there. Mary and I were sitting down with the camera folks. And this little bitty short of a gal, looked about like Autumn's height, a little bitty short of a gal, comes up, and her name's Wendy. And she comes up. Oh, come on up. Come on. I've got a seat for you. So we walk all through. It's a bit of a walk. We walk through all these rounded tables, and all of a sudden, we're sitting center stage in the table right here. And I look over, and there's a guy I used to do some work with in the Catholic Church when we were there, and he's now the mayor of Thornton. He's looking at me like peculiar because the table I'm sitting at is with Shirley Dobson. I can't remember who's over there, obviously my bride and the governor of the state of Colorado. What if I came up to that table and sat down first? Hey, governor! Do you understand? It's not that anything other. We didn't even know this was going on. We didn't even know what we were doing there. But God will give you things if you'll just, listen, if you'll just operate in humility. That means absence of self, considering others more than yourself. Please. Thank you. The host will come and say, give this person your seat, and then you'll be embarrassed. There's something in there I don't want to say. And you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. You'll have to be booted to the rear. Please. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then your host sees you. He will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. See, let me tell you something. When I saw these other mayors in town, they were all jockeying for position because they were in proximity to the governor. And that man is sitting right here to my left and my beautiful bride to my right. And across is the lady that set up the National Day of Prayer, Dobson's wife, Shirley Dobson. I probably wouldn't recognize him if I saw him today. But I just thought it was such a peculiar thing because Scripture is so revelatory. You know, I have a story for that. I think it's kind of cool. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exhausted. Exhausted. I'm so tired of being humble. Will be exalted. Which do you prefer? Men, do you think you're such a man that you don't need help? Are you serious? You're not alone. We all need help. And by the way, while we were gone, all of you men and women, y'all helped Mary Lou and I considerably. And for that, we are deeply thankful that you took care of the runnings of this work so that we could get rest to our souls. Thank you. Next slide, please. Then he turned to the host and says, when you put on a luncheon and a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends and brothers and relatives and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that'll be your only reward. Right? That's the big. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Do you understand the lesser than these invitation to your home? Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it'll be to attend a banquet for the kingdom of God. Oh yeah, we're going to open a parable. Go ahead. Jesus replied this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invites. Okay? When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, it's ready now. So you got your save the date, and then you got the, we're ready to go. And he sent a human there to get them. Go. Thank you. But they all began making excuses. One said, I just bought a field. I must inspect it. Excuse me. The next one, another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen. That's 10 for you guys that don't do math. And I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another one said, I just got married. I can't come. The servant returned and told his master. And what he said to his master was, what? Why would that banquet made it for everyone? They said no, and he got furious. You know, when people get mad, it's unmet expectations, right? Furious. Oh, go back, please. Thank you. And said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys and of the town and invite the poor, the cripple, the blind, and the, like some of my humor. Next. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. We got some empty seats. What'd he do? He said, so his master said, go into the country lanes behind the hedges and urge any one of you to find, it says, so that the house will be full. Go out to the highway and the hedges. Can I tell you something? If you have given your life to Christ, that's because somebody went out to the highways and the hedges in the country of your soul and got you. Where am I? Thank you. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. Did they have a choice? You understand the parable, right? Why did he get so furious if he didn't have a choice? God knows it all. God does it. Well, he's omnipresent. He should know. Or omniscient, omni-knowledge. He should know it all. And he's going to know when you make that decision. You understand there's a two-part to this. He's laying out the ability for you to come, and you get the choice of coming. Look at the next scripture. I don't remember which one it is. Thank you. In Timothy, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all are in authority that they can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by the godliness and dignity. This is good and pleasing our God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Again, this sounds like that 2 Peter, doesn't it? This is his heart. He wants everybody to understand. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. Was there any more to this? Thank you. He gave his life to purchase freedom. Love that freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. Do I have another one? Okay, 2 more. Oh, good. John 5:4. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. That says a declination. He gave them an opportunity to come, and they said, peace out, man, I'm done. I don't want you. Next. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often have I wanted to, this is Jesus talking, gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks, and her, but you wouldn't let me. That's some of your buddies that are, oh, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. Dude, that gives you the chance to choose. He wants you to come, but he's like, I can't gather you because you won't let him. You won't let him. That sounds like somebody's headship over somebody else kind of saying, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. Is there any more? Huh? Is that it? Okay, good. See, that whole thing, good that I'm like not going to be, okay, we're done, go. Let's pray for the boxes. The deal is this. You have a choice in this matter. I'm not going to get all, are you an Arminianist or a Calvinist? I don't care about it. I'm a Biblicist. I don't go to scriptures that will support a belief system. I go to what God says. And he says, all few. All can come, few are chosen. Few will accept that call. None can call unless I first draw them. Listen to this prayer. We'll close out. This is Paul. Listen to his heart. This is Paul. Listen to his heart. After he said all of this stuff about God having a plan for you, in, thank you. One more, in. Thank you. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, dude, I heard about your faith. I heard about your faith. I heard about your faith. I heard about it. Somebody told me about your faith. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, that was the verb of love, the actionable cause, right? I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. This is Paul going, thank you, God, for them. Thank you that they put these boxes. Thank you that they X, Y, Z. I always remember you in my prayers, asking the Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you a spirit of wisdom. Give you wisdom. Don't get falsified. Hey, we were talking with a group before about AI. That's great. First thing I did when I got AI, I said, give me a sermon on. And it cranked out four paragraphs that was tight. It was tight for now until they changed that word. I'll check it out, but I ain't trusting it. Let's go down another road. Hippie Jesus playing a guitar. You're never going to hear him say it like this. His internal soul is that. He won't say, baby, how are you doing? I'm so glad to see you today. He'll say, bro, what's up? That's him, right? But if you see a figure of him going, baby, I'm so glad to see you. That's AI. That ain't him. Why do we know? Because we have a relationship, right? Have a relationship through the written word of the word Jesus with him. Because I'm going to tell you, as I told the first group that was in for prayer this morning, that this thing's a real deal, Lucille. And you think your eyes being averted unto porn and paper, let alone onto your screen, is something now? You don't know what's coming to you and your kinfolk, your children, in this porn level that's going to be beyond some amazing things that are here to drag down our society. And when I say our society, I mean every single one of us. And I'm not just picking on porn. It'll be presidential. It'll be all the above. You're going to have to listen now. Now listen. You're going to have to be super diligent with wisdom and what you're getting through this thing. And if you're getting your news through YouTube shorts and TikTok and reels and whatever else that's out there, you better back off of some of that, because you're probably getting it wrong, or you're only getting a capsule of what actually happened. We saw an 11-minute and 24-second capsule of what we think happened based on documentation. I wasn't there when they landed. Thank God they ain't no 7-Eleven. I didn't land on that beachhead. I didn't have to build homes over dead man's bones. But they have stories of that stuff. Listen, I don't want things buried over your bones because you were taken down by some computer. You are the computers. You understand where that word computer came from? It was people that made computations to get mathematical equations. I've known that since I was a kid. That's where that, and I see computer, I'm like, that don't look like a human. Where's your pencil? Sharpening that? That's a pencil sharpener for you guys that don't know. Some of you go, there we go. Listen, we'll continue with this prayer. We'll close out, pray for these, and we're gone. Listen now. I don't want you taken out. You think this is some far off, never, never land? This is like January, February, hitting hard, hitting heavy. Be wise. Father, to give you a spirit of wisdom, give him that revelation that you will know him better, and you will know him better, rather. I also pray that you will have a greater understanding in your heart, so you will know the hope to which he has called us, and that you will know how rich and glorious are the blessings of God has promised the holy people, his holy people. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe, that the power is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put him on the right side in the heavenly world. Let me tell you something for you that are just learning the Holy Spirit. Understand the reverberated spiritual sense of power that comes, that spoke the universe into existence, that spoke you into existence. You don't even have to think about going to the bathroom to go to the bathroom. I was sitting, Mary Lou cut her finger. She thought it was a stem in her plant, and she got a little too close, and cut. Ah! I told her, I said, take that Band-Aid, spit on that Band-Aid, wrap it tight, leave it for 3 days, take it, wipe it down, do it again for 2 more days. I said, it'll be healed tight. You know why it's healed tight? God put super glue in your body. It's called adhesions, is what they call it in medical term. You guys get your legs surged, and they have you do that thing where they move the leg, and it hurts. It's breaking the adhesions. He's got these plans that are built in, you know. He's got these plans for you, and he doesn't want you to get caught up in all this other stuff. That's the power that you have. I didn't think up how to make adhesions work in a body. I barely know how to plant a row of garden in. And yet he made the dirt and the seed. Verse 20. God used to raise Christ from the dead and put him on the right side of in the heavenly world. God has put Christ over all rulers. God has put Christ over all authorities. God has put Christ over all powers. God has put Christ over all kings, not only in this world, but in the next one. God has put everything under his power and made him the head over everything for the church, which is Christ's body. The church is filled with Christ, and Christ fills everything in every way. And that is the opening to the Ephesus book. It's amazing at Paul's prayer. It still echoes to us today. Dude, what is keeping you from the fullness living of the Lord? Say, nada, dude. 1, 2, 3. Nada, dude. Just you. Can you live that? Okay, before we come up and pray, what'd you hear, Adrian?